Good morning. Coming up on 7:40 here on the Mighty 690, it is time for our chat with State Senator Virgil Peck this morning on a chilly morning. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. Yes, you did lead in exactly right. A chilly morning? No, it's a cold morning out there, James.
Oh, this is going to be chilly compared with what we got coming.
Well, I guess
bad.
That is true.
It's all here about perspective.
Come Sunday morning, I would be glad to see 16 degrees temperature because my understanding it won't be 16. And that is something that I know that KGGF has been mentioning things as far as automobiles, also pets. It's when it gets this brutal cold, we got for those of us who have outdoor pets, we need to make certain that we provide water and food and shelter from the wind so they got a place to get in out of. God designed them, they can survive the weather, but they still need some protection.
Oh yeah, that is so, absolutely for sure.
I just wanted to encourage people on that because sometimes we tend to think and focus on ourselves, which I understand that, but outdoor pets and animals, and this is hard on livestock. I'm kind of getting into the agriculture because now I'm this week started as the chair of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. So ag is on my mind all the time now, James, because of that responsibility.
Well, and I mean, I know that so those producers right now, you know, they've got calving going on. This is a terrible time to, you know, have that. And so that's weighing on them, I know.
It does. And it's a challenge. Those who are in the production agriculture, whether it's grain or animals, it's a challenge, nonstop, but they are so valuable to the Kansas economy, but also they're valuable to the survival of the human species because we all got to eat.
Well, yeah, and you know, people talk about, you know, producers and everything. You know, I know these guys, if they lose a calf, they're going to beat themselves up about it because, you know, that's obviously lost revenue, but they feel, you know, they have a connection to, you know, the animals and the land, so.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, as far as legislative-wise, that's what I'm supposed to be here for.
That's right. Well, you know, we could talk all day, but first of all, I do want to thank you for bringing us the Star Spangled Banner now. It's a new thing we started here at 6. So,
I was honored when I was asked to do that and glad to do that. So for those of you who may not know what we're talking about, get up a little bit earlier, as in 6 o'clock. And KGGF is starting with our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner music. And I'm honored to have the opportunity to sponsor that along with Representative Doug Blex and Representative Ron Bryce, just to start the morning off a little bit more patriotic. And James, so I'm glad we're doing that.
Me too. It's a good way to start the day. So I know you guys have had a very busy and kind of an unusual session here as we get into this legislative session.
Absolutely. Every session is very similar, but every session also has its uniqueness. And this session has started off unique. This is my, 12 plus 4 is 16, 16th session. I had 4 years when I wasn't in the legislature, which is interesting, James. People still tend to think that I've been in the legislature nonstop. But no, I took a four-year vacation, if you will. But this session started off the very first day. The Senate and House both passed a resolution. This resolution was a resolution condemning the October 7th attacks on the state of Israel and reaffirming Kansas's support and cooperation with the state of Israel. And then it's got all, I'm not going to get into it, but it's got all those whereases, talks about whereas Israel was founded following the killing of Jewish people, 6 million people. And then whereas October the 7th, 2023, Hamas launched air, ground, and sea strikes on Israel, and on and on and on. And then there is the resolution. But why is this important? It's because Kansas has a relationship with Israel. And this is, by passing this resolution, the official position of the Kansas legislature. The resolution on the Senate side was SR 1729, if anyone wants to go look at it. On the House side, it was HR 6030. I don't understand, I guess, James, why there was opposition to the resolution. On the Senate side, it passed 34-6. On the House side, it passed 106-14. So I guess I'll just leave it there. I don't understand why there would be opposition to standing with and for Israel, the brutality that Hamas has inflicted upon that country. And then there are those who are taking the side of the terrorists who started the fight. Israel was just minding their business, doing their thing, and all of a sudden Hamas decided to attack them on October the 7th, brutalized a lot of Israelis, but by passing this resolution the very first day, it shows the seriousness of the Kansas legislature. So that was unusual. And then on Tuesday, the very next day, we didn't have session at all because of the weather that had come into Topeka. So we took, I was going to say we took the day off, but I was in the Capitol anyway. I managed to get there, took care of some business, gave me an opportunity to get resettled into the Capitol. So that was unusual. And then Wednesday, we got back to business. Yesterday, Thursday, the Tax Conference Committee started meeting. I'm vice chair of the Senate Tax Committee. And so we started conferencing with the House as to what will be our tax plan. By the way, I guess I should back up to Wednesday. There was a little thing that happened on Wednesday. It was called the State of the State Address. Frustrating to me. And James, I know that the governor is the governor. The governor was elected by the majority of Kansans, not Southeast Kansas, by the way, at all. But she is officially the governor. She proposed a lot of things in her State of the State speech that, well, it just kind of interesting to me. She proposed several tax cuts. They're all things that Republicans have pushed in the past. For example, she said she wants to eliminate the sales tax on groceries. It would already be gone had she not used her veto pen several years ago and last year. But she's saying, and she knows it's impossible. These are the kinds of things that really bother me, that politics gets involved in doing what's right. But she said we should eliminate the sales tax on groceries by April the 1st. Impossible. We can't.
And why is that impossible?
Because of the regulations and guidelines for our businesses, the reporting requirements that, and the system changes that they have to go through. Now, in the tax conference, which I got a little bit of ahead of myself, that we have started, we're looking at doing this July the 1st. That would be a squeeze, but it can be done. But part of the State of the Speech, or State of the State speech, was about eliminating the sales tax on groceries. Well, again, had the veto pen not come out in 2023, it would have been eliminated on January the 1st. She proposed legislation or tax ideas to eliminate the income tax on Social Security. Great idea. I support it. But I supported it for years. And that's been a Republican idea for years. She proposed moving up the exemption on the 20 mils for statewide education funding, and which would be a great thing. It would reduce property taxes, provide real property tax relief for Kansas citizens. Again, an idea that 3 years ago was proposed by a House member, a Republican House member from Johnson County area, and we had legislation that was introduced on the Senate side a couple years ago to do that, which, you know, those, it's just interesting to me, I guess, that somebody takes credit for something that's not their idea. And then the final thing I'll mention on that, everyone who's listened to KGGF for a lot of years knows that Virgil Peck has been pushing and proposing since 2006, 18 years ago now, which, man, that seems like a long time ago, more than half of your life.
Yeah, I guess so.
You guess so? Okay, yeah. But anyway, a back-to-school sales tax holiday. And the governor has got on board. Great. I'm glad. That's fine. But don't take credit for it, because historically the minority party has opposed that legislation. As a matter of fact, our current tax chair, that was one thing that helped her beat an incumbent back in 2010. In 2010, we had to push, I had a push, and the House did, to pass legislation for a back-to-school sales tax holiday. Didn't pass because of the minority party, the Democrats, opposed it. And so the person that the tax chair beat had opposed it, and she hammered on that. And anyway, so there are going to be some good things done for taxes, that we need to eliminate some taxes, reduce some taxes. As Doug mentioned last week, referencing Blacks, the state is sitting on a pile of money. And so we do need to reduce taxes. We do need to put money back in the pockets of Kansas citizens. I don't know, because we really haven't talked about it, if there will be a one-time rebate to taxpayers. If we do this, James, it does need to be to those who actually paid income taxes. Because we can give money to every Kansas citizen. Well, that's wrong, because they didn't pay in to the income tax system. So will there be a little bit of a rebate come back in the form of a one-time check? Maybe not. Probably not.
Now, speaking of taxes, what about this whole ad valorem tax thing? They were talking about this in Montgomery County this week, about how the state stopped paying that money to counties when they were essentially broke, but then they didn't restart it. What's the latest on that whole situation?
Okay. We'll get to there now.
Okay.
That's fine. But just to a little bit of history, those of us who are past about 25 years of age will remember September the 11th, 2001. When that terrorist attack happened on the United States, the economy of our country went down significantly. And in the state of Kansas, it tanked. And so the Kansas legislature in 2003 said, we're not going to pay, or actually in 2002, for fiscal year 2003, we're not going to pay the second half, because it was broken down in twos. We would pay half 1 month and then 6 months later pay the other half. But so they said, we're not going to pay it. And then the next year, this was all before my time, they decided that, well, we still can't afford to pay it, so we're not going to pay it in 2004. And from that time clear up through now, the Local Ad Valorem Tax Reduction Fund, LAVTRF for short, I'm not sure it's any shorter, has not been paid, has not been funded. There is some false information that's being put out there right now, and it bothers me. There are those who are saying that the legislature is not following the law. We are following the law. Look at the law. Current statute says that it will not be funded in 2023, 2024, and 2025. So current law already says it will not be funded. Now, that was history. Now back to what you said. We had just yesterday in the Senate Assessment and Taxation Committee a hearing on funding, so changing the law to where we would fund the LAVTRF going forward. Now, something that potentially could help with property taxes. We had a conferee, that's people that step up before the committees to give some information, that had some statistics that showed when the Ad Valorem Tax Reduction Fund was in place back in the early 2000s, late 1990s, early 2000s, property taxes increased significantly higher than they have over the last five-year period. And what they did was looked at 2003 and went back 5 years. And what were property tax increases? The average was 7.6%. And so they looked at the last 5 years without this, and the average increase is a little under 4%. So if we do reinstate funding for the Local Ad Valorem Tax Reduction Fund, there's one thing that will have to be in there, and that is local units of government will be mandated by state law to use this money to reduce property taxes, because currently we give money to counties, or if this fund was being funded, we would give monies to counties, and then they determine if they're going to reduce property taxes or not. In fairness, most counties do. But it only takes a few rogue counties and cities to screw it up for everybody else, if you will. It's the old saying, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. So that will have to be in there, because I will not support just reinstating the Local Ad Valorem Tax Reduction Fund, because then local units of government become dependent upon that money. And if there's no accountability, meaning they don't have to reduce property taxes, some don't. It's just sort of a slush fund. So that's a big deal. There's been some things that have been written, and there will be things that are written about me. Some things I've said, which, by the way, James, it really bothers me that there are letters to the editor that anybody can say anything about a politician, an elected official. I guess that's fine. That's part of the process. But there's some things that's been said about me recently. I didn't say those things. I just did not say those things. It's a total false information. I'm not going to use the L word. Spelled L-I-E, but it's total false information about Virgil Peck said this or said that. No, he didn't. But anyway, I digress. But,
hey, well, we're happy to let you say it in your own words right here.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. But so that's Local Ad Valorem Tax Reduction Fund was a hearing yesterday. Next week, staying on the tax, and then we're going to run out of time as we always do. But next week, we will have a hearing for 2 days. House Bill 2036 passed the House 123-1. that would eliminate the property tax for disabled veterans. It's a formula starting at 30% disabled. If you're a disabled veteran at 30%, you would have a 60% reduction in property taxes, and that goes up from there. But it's a great idea. I'd like to do it. But the reason I bring this up today is we're going to have a hearing in Senate tax. It looks like it's not constitutional, which is a shame, because our disabled veterans, they're disabled because of their service to our country. We want to do things for them. But if it's unconstitutional and we're going to face a constitutional challenge, why should we try to go down that road that we know is unconstitutional? The reason it would be unconstitutional, I can hear some people saying, well, other states do it. Why would it be unconstitutional? Well, other states don't have the same constitution the state of Kansas
yeah,
does.
Yeah, the state constitutions. Each state has their own. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good point. Yeah, I don't want people thinking yeah. that it's the United States.
The United States. Oh, well, you know, if Arkansas does that, that's just Arkansas, right?
Yeah. No. Well, now you're going to go down a road. But, yes, the state constitution. We can't treat one class of people. It looks like constitutionally, and we had a hearing, an informational hearing in the Senate Tax Committee, that you can't treat one class of people differently than another class of people when it comes to property taxes according to the Kansas Constitution. So we'll go ahead and delve into this and try to get all of the figures and numbers and see what we can determine. Now, there is the legislator that has proposed this is from Leavenworth County, which there's a big military installation up there. And he's got an amendment because some counties, if this does go through, will see a significant reduction in property taxes because these disabled veterans will not pay any property taxes. I personally would like to see that for every Kansan. Not going to happen today, but I would like to eliminate property taxes entirely and go to a consumption tax, which we won't talk about that today. We'll talk about it another day. But he's proposing to where if a county has a 3% or higher reduction in property tax collections because of this legislation, that the county would apply to the state and the state would make up the difference. I got that, but what about the county that sees a 2.9% reduction? Is it fair to that county because they didn't reach that 3% threshold to not receive state funds? So my point in getting into the weeds on this a little bit is the fact that some things sound simple to do, to implement, but they're just not. And that's the reason that we've got two houses, two chambers, the Kansas House, the Kansas Senate, so both hopefully take a close look at it. I know on the House side when this legislation passed, hey, who's going to vote against property tax relief for disabled veterans? Well, one guy did. He said it's unconstitutional. I can't vote for it. Well, other 123 members voted for it, and I'm not going to criticize them for voting for it. I probably would have too. But now that it's in our side of the Capitol, we got to take a close look
sure,
at it.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, again, we're about out of time here, sir, but it's hard
okay.
to believe. It always
goes fast. I do want to hit something yes. just real quick. I mailed out a survey, a 2024 legislative session preview survey, and the results are starting to come back in. I would like for everyone who received these, and I don't know, James, who did and who did not. I didn't pick and choose. I just paid an organization to send them out to registered voters. So if you're not a registered voter, you probably didn't get one. But it asks four questions. Briefly, should the Kansas legislature pass legislation to stop America's adversaries from purchasing rural land in Kansas? Now, that one is the very first question. It's easy to see. I don't have the results on the others. But this one, so far, 93% of people say yes. Even those who write snarky remarks about me and insult me are saying yes. Next question, should we continue to look at a single income tax rate? Next question, should we expand Medicaid for able-bodied adults? And then the final question, should voters be allowed to consider constitutional amendment cap on valuations? And then there's a place where you can prioritize a different area of topics and a place for comments. So I just want to encourage everyone to return it because I want to know what people in Southeast Kansas think about various topics. So run out of time, but a lot more we could talk about, but we'll cover that another day.
Sure. Well, that's a great way to get some of those responses from the constituents, and appreciate you doing that.
Well, I've gotten so far as of last night's mail 458 responses.
Hey.
I think it's pretty good. I'm hoping to I'm definitely will break that 500 mark. I was hoping when I sent it out to maybe get 700. We'll see. But a couple weeks from now on KGGF, I'll let you know the results.
Okay, sounds like a plan. State Senator Virgil Peck here on the Mighty 690. Appreciate you coming on by this morning.
Absolutely, thank you.
And we will have news coming up here on KGGF and our Ask the Expert segment on the way. We have 16 degrees right now in Coffeyville, heading up to a high today in the mid-20s.